Hello everyone and welcome back to the Mouth of the Tyne podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined as ever by Miles Starforth and Joe Buck to discuss the latest Newcastle United news and transfer stories. Guys, it's only been a few days since our last podcast. How are you doing and what have you made of the latest sort of developments at Newcastle?
I'm good, thanks. Again, enjoying the weather and things are finally starting to get moving again, really. We've had a quiet couple of weeks after those early developments this month, but things are starting to move, which is positive ahead of the players coming back next Friday.
Yeah, and Joe, last time I won the podcast, we were frustrated the lack of sort of transfer activity as such, and with no more transfers incoming, but like Miles says, the ball is starting to get rolling, medicals coming in and players going out as well.
Yeah, I've been doing daily transfer videos for the site, and the amount of times or different ways I've had to say fans need to be patient, or it's a quiet time of the year. But it's good to see that it is, as you say, the ball's starting to roll and that players are coming both in and out because we expect business in and out this summer, and I think there's going to be a lot of it. So it's nice to see that, hopefully, and it's going to start picking up steam going forward.
Yeah, patience is the key word. Patience is a virtue, Mehdad Gudusi tweeted last week. And that's an important message, Miles, like Joe says. Although Newcastle have signed a player, they've been fairly busy in terms of trying to bring more players in. Patience is going to be required, and it's still over a month and a bit before the new season actually starts.
Yeah, I think the intention is there to do business early. That's not always possible. This club hasn't been particularly active in the early part of the window in some, quite a few previous seasons. It's obviously, it's always had its targets, but it's been prepared to kind of sit and wait and play a bit of cat and mouse. But certainly the intention is there to do business early. That's easier said than done. And as you say, the club's already signed one player, Matt Target. And if we can get even just one more in by January 1st, that would certainly be decent progress given, generally June's a very quiet month, not just because of internationals and holidays. It just is. And as clubs, wait on a number of factors before they kind of sanction deals, before they make their moves.
Yeah, and a bit of news this morning coming from the club in regard to season tickets. United saying they'll sell a limited number of season tickets on a first-come, first-served basis to fans who've had a sort of purchase history at the club since 2019. Miles, the demand for season tickets is obviously at probably an all-time high, the highest it's been for a long time. Is this a step in the right direction for the club? What do you make of this?
I think it is. I think the club's in it. It's not an easy decision to make. I think the club was clear it wanted to make some available. What we understand, there will be 1,000 tickets available, which isn't many at all in the scheme of the number of seats which aren't held by season ticket holders. So I think the club hasn't admitted or revealed exactly how many season tickets it has got for the coming season. Though it says there's unprecedented demand for renewals. But it did say a couple of years ago there was 30,000 season tickets. So that's the kind of ballpark which would leave a significant number of seats being sold on a game by game basis. And what they've announced this morning is that anyone with a purchase history for the last 3 years can apply for one next week, one per supporter number. But we've got 1,000 available season tickets and tens and tens and tens of thousands of fans potentially eligible and wanting them. So let's hope the IT can cope, and it will be a bun fight. But 1,000 fans will be lucky enough to get a season ticket. So also, it's worth pointing out, my understanding is this isn't the end of the in terms of season tickets in the club. In the coming years, there will be more made available. We're going to see things like the club will be looking at safe standing, the family areas. I think there's a lot of moving parts here, and the club will be in a better position to issue more season tickets in the coming seasons when I guess the demand could be even greater. But good luck to those fans who are going to apply next week. And I think we know that the club, as every other club in the Premier League, has to make at least 5% available to non-season ticket holders. And the number available certainly for this season will be well in excess of that, but that will at least allow as many fans as possible to see at least some football this season. But I think we'll see more sold over the coming seasons, and when we'll know more about safe standing and any other changes at the ground.
Yeah, it's certainly an interesting situation, and buying tickets certainly since the takeover has been particularly difficult at Newcastle for all the right reasons, at least. But Joe, what do you make of this situation with fans obviously just flooding, trying to get season tickets and match day tickets?
Yeah, the club are in a no-win situation, really, with whatever they decide to do. I think the demand is that high that there's going to be people that miss out, unfortunately. But I think it's one of the things where you just, as a fan, you've just got to hope, because everyone wants to be part of the journey. You know, there's everyone from players, coaches, fans, everyone wants to be part of this journey. So it's nice to see the demand's there, and they're not giving out 10,000 free season tickets like the dark days. It's good to see. So as Miles said, fans are just going to have to get lucky, and hopefully it's just the start of something really big at Newcastle.
Yeah. From an ownership point of view, could they be looking at this and going, right, it's obviously one for long-term future, but in terms of expanding the stadium, and it might be difficult to do, will they be looking at this and going, look, it's so hard for fans to get tickets, we need to be looking at ways to practically expand St James's Park?
We know they are looking at that, but that's easier said than done. Complicated by the sale of land behind the Gallagher ends. Work's not started on that, maybe significantly. They're hemmed in on one side as well. They've been clear, you know, an interview they did earlier this year that their intention is to stay on the site. So there's only so much scope for expansion, and that scope was really limited by that sale of land by Mike Ashley for what was, you know, in the scheme of things, a very small profit. Other Premier League clubs have been buying land around their stadiums for years. Newcastle United under Mike Ashley were selling land. It's just extraordinary, really, though that shouldn't have come as a surprise to any of us. So they are looking at that going forward. That's a long-term aim. It'll be very expensive. If it is possible, the cost per seat will be huge, really. It wouldn't fall under kind of any football fair play regulations. So I think we're going to certainly see improvements in the short term. In the long term, I would hope they would see some kind of expansion. But, you know, there was a plan when Freddie Shepherd was chairman to increase it to 60,000 by building at the Gallagher end. But we know a successful club, that 60,000 wouldn't be enough to satisfy demand. That option may not be there for the club to expand on that side. So it'd be interesting to see what they do, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more clarity on what they can do and what they hope to do in the kind of coming weeks and months.
Yeah, there's also news emerged upgrading the training ground, things like that. The groundwork's obviously begun, still awaiting planning permission. Miles, do you see this sort of upgrade of the training ground impacting Newcastle's pre-season at all, in terms of just players coming in and out of the building, things like that, the groundwork taking place? Will it have any impact at all?
Well, you know, Eddie Howe spoke about this late last season, and the kind of hope was that the work would be done when the players are away, or certainly at some of the work. They haven't been able to start the work in earnest, so the groundwork has started. The area's been cleared, and they're ready to go for whenever that permission is granted. Obviously, we know there's various surveys and other things that had to be done to satisfy the planners. That's all progressing. There's no way around. There will be some kind of disruption. We've seen the pictures where they've been preparing the ground to build in sight. The facility is obviously clearly going to be affected, but there's no way around it. In the short to medium term, the benefits are going to outweigh this short-term disruption, because we've seen the plans, and it's a big improvement on what they've got at the minute.
Yeah, and just moving on to the transfer side of things, we've seen a bit of movement in terms of the goalkeeper position at Newcastle this week. We've seen Freddie Woodman join Preston North End on a permanent deal. Nick Pope potentially coming in from Burnley, due for a medical tomorrow. Joe, is this positive in terms of the goalkeeping department, a positive development that Freddie Woodman's going out, he's getting the first team football he wants, he's left the club effectively, but Nick Pope's coming in?
Absolutely. I think well, Nick Pope's obviously an upgrade on Freddie Woodman. I know Freddie Woodman obviously at 25, so, you know, 5 years younger than Pope, but I was a bit gutted for Woodman because obviously he got his chance at the beginning of last year with Dubravka's injury and Darlow's injury. And he never kicked on. I remember that game at Old Trafford where, to be fair, he was playing against a really weak defence at the time, but that game at Old Trafford conceding four didn't really help his case. And it's a shame because I think there was a lot of high hopes, especially with his England exploits and then his season at Swansea, that he could be Newcastle's number one. But I think Preston's a good move for him. I think he's shown that he can play well in the Championship. That's, you know, and if he performs well this season or however long he gets there, that there could be a Premier League move in the offing for him. Because I think, for me, goalkeepers just need to be playing, especially when he's at 25. He's going to be hitting his peak. In a couple of years' time, he just needs to get a lot of game time under him. And it was never going to happen at Newcastle, even if they didn't add this summer with Dubravka there. But in terms of Nick Pope, I think that's a brilliant addition, especially if it's £10 million that's been quoted. I think that's a fantastic addition to the squad. I think there were a lot of people wondering why maybe Pope ahead of Henderson, or why Pope, because I think Eddie Howe probably wants his goalkeepers to be good with their feet. I think that's the one criticism you can make of Martin Dubravka. Other than that, I think Dubravka's a top keeper. But Pope isn't brilliant with his feet, I don't think, either. But at 30 years old, 3 years younger than Martin Dubravka, he's going to be the number one for the next couple of years. And it's nice to have real good competition in that goalkeeping department, because Dubravka is injury prone. Pope has missed a couple of games as well. So I would have no fears if any of them got injured beginning the next season or any point next season, because both of them are fantastic, fantastic goalkeepers.
Yeah, definitely. And Miles, in terms of Freddie Woodman, is it a case of just what could have been for him at Newcastle? Because there were such high hopes just a few years ago for him.
Well, I've kind of followed his career since he, you know, since he was at the academy, really. Watched him play the various levels and I guess have been, you know, willing him on to kind of make it at the club. An exceptional talent at those levels. He's been away, done very well on loan at the Championship's Golden Glove Award at Swansea, I think, the season before last. Great attitude, great willingness to learn. He's really applied himself. And you know, like all of us, you love to see kids come through from the academy and make it. And I felt he had a chance of making it. But I think what didn't go in his favour was he missed a lot of loan football for different reasons early in his career. He's missed probably the best part of two seasons of loan football, and we all know how important that is for a goalkeeper, especially in that position. There was an issue over his contract, and he wasn't loaned that season. And another season, he ended up going to a club at the back end of the season and it wasn't really the ideal move for him. So I think that's held him back, and that's obviously I'd imagine a frustration for him. As Joe says, better luck to him at Preston. I think he'll flourish there, and I'm sure we'll see him back in the Premier League. I spoke to him last night, and he had nothing but praise to say for the club and what they've done for him and in his career, the singling out coaches, teammates. He's clearly excited for the challenge ahead of him at Preston, but also, you know, he says it's a sad day when you close a chapter in your playing career, and it's been 9 years really. So all the best to him at Preston.
And do you feel Nick Pope's a good addition? And also with that potential addition, where does it leave Carl Darlow now, who will obviously, you'd think, drop down the pecking order?
Well, by the looks of it, the club's going to, you know, sign an England international, another England international for around £10 million. We don't know the exact fee as yet, but that's the kind of ballpark, which on the surface of it is great business. I think the goalkeeping department's been very settled for the past few years, and I think it needed freshening up, and Pope will certainly do that. Obviously, I get what Joe said about kicking. That's been something that's a criticism that's been levelled at him. You wondered whether that was the type of keeper that Eddie Howe wanted, given the way his teams will play, but he's done very, very well at Burnley, and I think he'd be a good addition. Of course, it does, you know, there's a big question mark around Darlow and I guess Mark Gillespie as well. They'll need three goalkeepers in the squad. you've got Dubravka, you've got Pope, and who's the third? Is Dalo going to be a third choice, or is he going to move on? Because after all, I'm sure he'll feel at his age he really needs first team football. So it'd be an interesting kind of shake up, and I think it was time for that. Really, it's been very settled in terms of the personnel in that department, and over time you do need to freshen things up. Players need to come and they need to go, and you know, for Woodman and maybe Dalo as well, first team football is probably what they want at this stage of their careers.
Yeah, and Joe, it's going to be interesting for Eddie Howe to manage two senior international goalkeepers as well. Nick Pope will want to play regularly. It's a World Cup year. He'll want to be in that England squad. Obviously, Martin Dubravka has been just the sort of shoe-in number one for the past few years as well. So how does Eddie Howe go about managing that, considering Newcastle maybe aren't in Europe and don't really have the 15, 20 games a cup football to rely on?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge test of his management. I think that I think in Newcastle we've become accustomed to sort of one keeper and that'll be it. You know, especially for the last decade, we've never really had genuine competition for the number one spot. So it will be interesting how the balance. I would guess that Nick Pope is probably being given assurance as a first team football. I can't imagine he would move, as you say, with the World Cup on the horizon. I can't imagine he'd move to a club where he wouldn't be number one. But then, as we say, Martin Dubravka has done very little to not deserve his spot as number one. So it'd be interesting how they do balance it. I think whether it'll be harsh to say it's one mistake and you're out, I don't know if that, you know, I don't know how that would work for team harmony. But it's good to have genuine competition in the goalkeeping department. And as I said, you'd be happy to see either of them keep us behind the back four and expect, you know, some good performances. So I'm happy with the sign. I think it's a brilliant move and excited for hopefully that'll get done and then just for them to keep adding to the squad.
Yeah, Miles, providing Pope does come in, how do you expect, same question, how do you expect Eddie Howe to manage that or approach that?
Well, I think, just talking personally, I would say the shirt's Dubravka's, and it's up to Pope to win it off him, assuming this move all gets completed this week. Martin Dubravka has been outstanding for this club the past few years. I feel he should start the season as the number one, and it's really up to Pope to take that shirt off him. That competition will be good for Dubravka. I take what Joe says about goalkeepers, given that Dubravka has been the clear number one. But if you look at this club since Shay Given's time there, you've gone from Shay Given to Steve Harper to Tim Krul, and onwards. I think it's been one of the stronger departments over the, you know, 10, 15 years, or certainly during Ashley's time. And hopefully it'll stay strong. It's never really been a problem position, though. There's been times of transition, and that's probably what we're moving into now. We have, you know, it'll be up to Pope to see how he can do at this club. He'll need time to settle in, but he's got big ambitions in terms of getting into the World Cup squad. He'd be well motivated, and it's probably just what Dubravka needs, really, at this stage, you know, to really push him on. I think we both spoke to him back end of last season. He seems determined to stay and fight for his place. He's missed the start of the last couple of seasons through injury, and there's that determination start this season and really, you know, start as he means to go on.
Yeah, it's proper competition for Dubravka. He's very similar sort of players, like Joe said, not maybe the best with the feet, but in terms of shot stoppers in the Premier League, they're among the best. And it will be interesting to see how that competition for that number one shirt in goal sort of plays out next season. But I'd probably say my opinion would be it's Dubravka's until he loses it, and probably would expect Pope to play in the cup competitions, however far as Newcastle go. But also on the transfer front, we've got Sven Botman and Hugo Ekitike deals sort of continuing to rumble on with those two. Miles, just to your understanding, what's the latest on Newcastle's pursuit of those two players?
Ongoing, there's not much to add to last week, really. It's just a case of, I think the club is exploring other options. It needs a plan B and a plan C. Ideally, there'd have been some kind of breakthrough in one of those two by now, ahead of July 1st. But they're dragging on for different reasons. In terms of AC Milan, again, we talked about the reports in Italy, the suggestions Botman's really sold on a move to AC Milan. We'll see. That won't be an option for him unless they improve their offer for him. In terms of Ekitike, we'll have to see again. There's been lots of reports in France about other clubs interested in, are they going to match Newcastle's offer? Again, we'll see. But I think that the club will want some kind of clarity quite soon, really, in terms of where they're going to go with these two deals. It wouldn't be pursuing these players if they hadn't been given some encouragement. I'm clear about that. But it certainly can't spend all summer pursuing two players only to have to look elsewhere at the last minute.
Yeah, and Joe, the rumours AC Milan potentially out the race, like Miles touched on there, being priced out for Sven Botman. Do you still expect this signing to go through? Are you growing frustrated, given it's been it's January plus the sort of first few weeks of the summer as well?
I think, as with many fans, you get less hopeful as the time goes on. I don't know whether that's just, you know, from the Mike Ashley era and always worried that we'd miss out on these type of signings, or whether that's just genuine interest or genuine belief that Botman might go elsewhere. But I think we've just got to get used to the fact that when we go for players of this calibre, because, you know, it is a level above what we've been targeting over the last few years, that big teams in Europe, big historical sides, are going to be interested in them. And Newcastle right now aren't the big draw that we all expect there will be in the future. I hope that there will be. So I think we've just got to hope that persistence either pays off, or that we can, and that we can convince whoever we want, whoever our number one targets are, to join. But as we've said at the beginning of the episode, and we'll probably come back to many times over the next few weeks or so, patience. You've just got to be patient and hope that the club get the deal over the line. I think one of them will happen. I think it would be nice to see it happen, because then that, I think especially the Botman sign will be a real statement that, you know, he has one of the hottest prospects in Europe, one of the best young kids, and Newcastle have managed to outmuscle AC Milan in the market and get it. But yeah, I think we've just got to remain patient and trust in Dan Ashworth and all the team, whoever are working out these transfers, that they will get it over the line.
Yeah, and in terms of Ekitike, say that one did happen, Newcastle have another option up front. Would you like to see them get another striker in? Because you've got Callum Wilson, Dwight Gayle potentially on his way. Chris Wood, obviously, hasn't really sort of hit the ground running since he arrived from Burnley. And then you've got someone who's just turned 20 in Ekitike, should he come in. Would you want to see another player in addition to that in terms of the attacking options?
I think three strikers, assuming Gayle does leave, is enough if you're playing with one striker and you've got players who can, you know, wide players who can play that role if needed. You know, they're looking at wide players too. So I think if he's got three options, and you're talking Ekitike, Wilson and Wood, plus his wide players who can come through the middle, I think that'll be enough, and the rest of the focus will be in other positions. Though I wouldn't rule out a young, you know, a young striker who potentially, you know, even one outside the 20, young enough to be outside the 25 man squad rules. That could be an extra additional option.
And where would you like to see, to both of you, last question, where would you like to see Newcastle strengthen after, say, Pope comes in, then you've got Botman and Ekitike ideally? Where should they be looking at after that?
Well, I think, as we've said, the wide areas is the obvious one, and then potentially, you know, central midfield. If the scope to do that within the kind of fair play, financial fair play rules, the Premier League's profit and sustainability rules, those would be the two obvious areas to look at going forward.
Yeah, I would definitely add a winger or maybe another attacking player, whether that's a midfielder. I know, you know, Jesse Lingard, Christian Eriksen, them types of players have been linked, but I would definitely look to add more goals from other places in the team, just in case Callum Wilson gets injured and Ekitike doesn't hit it off, as we hope he will if he does sign. So definitely some sort of goals in the team, either if that's from the wing or from midfield, that would be the place I would target.
Yeah, certainly like the sound of Christian Eriksen, that would be a good piece of business from Newcastle if they could get that done on a free. But we'll be bringing you all the latest Newcastle United news, transfer gossip, update, what you name it, over on the Shields Gazette website in the coming days. Hopefully we'll see more developments over the next week or so, and then we'll be bringing you them on the next Mouth of the Time podcast. You can also subscribe to the Shields Gazette for unlimited ad-like access to all of our Newcastle United coverage. Just head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Miles, Joe, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Mouth of the Time podcast. You can join us next time, next week. Cheers.